Our next public hearing is subdivision 2005-31, Colic Farms Incorporated.
This is an application of Colic Farms Incorporated to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district in Dyersboro 100, Sussex County.
Last week. I don't think the public hearing's done.
Public hearing's over. It's on the next agenda.
To be voted on.
For action on the 10th.
For action on the 10th. But that is just for us to vote. There won't be any public testimony taken because a public hearing's already been done. You're welcome to be here, by all means, but you will not be able to speak.
When is that?
The 13th.
13th. Six or three?
Three o'clock.
Yeah. You're welcome, sir. All right, sir. Sorry about that, Mr. Abbott, but the gentleman seemed quite urgent, and I was afraid there was something ticking somewhere.
I'll start over.
Would you please start over? Thank you.
This is subdivision 2005-31, the application of Colic Farms Incorporated to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district in Dyersboro 100, Sussex County, by dividing 51.22 acres into 43 lots. It's located northwest of Road 333, 825 feet northeast of Road 334.
Mr. Abbott, can I ask you to just pause just for a second? Ladies and gentlemen, we're still in session here. Those of you in the back of the room, if you would mind having your meeting out in the lobby so that you do not disrupt the rest of our proceedings here this evening. Thank you very much. Rookies. All right, sir. Mr. Abbott, one more time.
This application was reviewed by the Technical Advisory Committee August 17th of last year. That report will be made a part of the record.
Yeah.
And we received a letter from Thoroughgood Concrete. They raised some concerns. Pass those down. They're not opposed to the application, but they would like for any future property owners to be aware that they run an industrial business adjacent to the site. And that's all I have unless you have any questions.
All right, sir, thank you. Is there someone here representing this application this evening?
Good evening. My name is John Murray. I'm a project manager with Kircher Engineering located here in Georgetown. I'm here this evening representing Colic Farms Incorporated. Have with me this evening Mr. Joe Colic, a partner with Colic Farms. As Mr. Abbott stated, the estate's on Wharton's Branch is located on 51.22 acres on Thoroughgoods Road, not far from the intersection with Dagsboro Road, probably no more than 500 feet. On that property, my clients are proposing to develop a 43 single-family lot subdivision. That subdivision would be a three-quarter acre lot minimum subdivision with a proposed density of 0.84 units per acre. All lots within the development would be utilizing individual lot wells. All lots within the development would be utilizing individual lot septic system. The property contains approximately 6.32 acres, I believe it is, of wetlands along Wharton's Branch. As was discussed earlier with another project, we have approached the Sussex Conservation District regarding our stormwater management design for the site. They had determined unofficially that Wharton's Branch would be considered a tidal outfall as well. That is one of the reasons why in our open spaces we are incorporating a couple small upland wetland environments. If you can see the wetland line that was located on the property, the majority of the wetlands are limited to Wharton's Branch itself, but there are a couple isolated locations where there are upland wetland environments. It was a recommendation by Jessica Watson and Mr. Jim Elliott of the Sussex Conservation District that we try to use those upland wetland areas as part of our stormwater management design to get some sort of recharge for that wetland environment and a little bit of a better percolation into a wetland area. So that is what we are planning for the development. The project would have a standard county cross section with roadside swales. We are also proposing a couple locations where we would have biofiltration swales, as was mentioned earlier, through drainage easements that would be cutting across or down some common property lines. Those biofiltration swales would be used before the stormwater management, the stormwater runoff got to those stormwater management areas to help with the water quality for that stormwater runoff, so we're not discharging into it just a dry basin. The wetland environment is, as we've been told by our wetland scientists, is not wet year-round. It's typically a seasonally wet area during the winter months. So this would help to recharge that area, but it would also help to clean that water before it got to the wetland area that would not hold stormwater management or stormwater runoff to help clean that runoff. We are proposing on the development, as was mentioned or recommended in the Technical Advisory Committee comments, a 15-foot wide permanent easement along the property frontage, which is going to be used for a multi-use path. We are also proposing a 10-foot wide landscape easement along the eastern property line, which is adjacent to the Thoroughgoods concrete. And it was something where my client and I didn't get a chance to meet very early before this meeting, and something that was mentioned earlier Shane had mentioned regarding the neighboring property, is my clients would not object to increasing that easement width to the full width of the building restriction line along the rear of those property lines. We also typically, as was mentioned earlier, have a standard note on our plan if we are adjacent to agricultural properties as required by the Planning and Zoning Office. And I'm assuming this would most likely be a situation where we would have to provide some sort of note regarding the use of the Thoroughgoods concrete next door. Just a few other things I'd like to mention. Based on the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan, this property is located adjacent to the town of Millsboro's line. Millsboro itself, town line, actually ends, terminates on the opposite side of Wharton's Branch. Based on the comprehensive plan of the county, this property is in an area, a study area for future sanitary sewer expansion. This property is located in an area for potential future public water service. This property is in an area to be a portion of a future town center. And based on the strategies for state policies and spending, approximately a third of this property is located in a developing area, and the remaining property is located in a secondary developing area. I'd also just like to read covenants and restrictions or examples of that for this development. We're not able to be prepared before this meeting. But my clients provide me with just a brief letter that I'd just like to read to you real quick. This letter is dated April 6, 2006. The property currently known as Estates on Wharton's Branch is in the process of modifying the restrictions of the subdivision known as Redwood to meet the needs of the Estates of Wharton's Branch subdivision, presented by Colic Family Limited Partnership and engineered by Kircher Engineering. This document, as soon as completed, will be presented to the county, and it is signed by one of my clients, James A. Colic, member of the Colic Family Limited Partnership. They just basically wanted me to mention that, as most of you, I'm sure, are familiar with the Redwood development outside of Milton, and they're very fond of the development in the way of what they've done with the development, in the way of architectural style, in the way of the sizes of the units that have been put into Redwood, along with some of the amenities that they've planned, at least in the way of their stormwater management and the maintenance of the development. And because of that fondness, they plan on modeling their covenants and restrictions very closely to what Redwood has adhered to with their development. So when these are prepared, they would be submitted for your criticism.
Very good.
That is all that I have. If you have any questions, I'm here to answer your questions, or my client is here to help you answer your questions.
Well, let's find out if anybody's got a question or two. Mr. Smith.
Yes, Mr. Murray. Could you take us through some of the points of Section 999C?
You're talking
as far as the impact or
regarding the subdivision ordinance, in regards to how we're conforming to that ordinance. All the lots within the development, being an AR1 property, zone property, 3/4 acre minimum lot sizes, which we're proposing throughout the development, with the minimum frontage, 100-foot frontage as required, 150-foot minimum depth required per lot. With that, we're also providing what would be private roadways inside of a 50-foot wide right-of-way area, which would adhere to the standard county cross-section, which would be a 20-foot wide paved area, standard roadside swales on the outside of those paved areas to collect that stormwater runoff. And as the 3/4-acre lot minimum would come from the fact that this property is not currently being served by municipal sewer, municipal water. And because it is being serviced by individual lot wells, individual lot septics, that would adhere to the 3/4-acre minimum lot size, as I know it, design-wise within the county code.
Well, I think it's one of the numerous checkpoints that we go through is minimal use of an impact on the wetlands, and what you're telling me is that you're going to be using these wetlands as a part of your stormwater management?
Correct. The wetland areas as shown on the plan. To the west, you can see the wetlands line that runs from what is actually parcel B, which is a portion of this, the large parcel that's actually kind of landlocked. That wetland line goes along the entirety of Wharton's branch where it abuts this property. There are also, there's a smaller area right in this vicinity. And also down here, we have a couple arms that come off of the wetlands. Namely this, which is in, as we term it, an upland wetland environment. It's detached from that, which would be the tidal wetland along Wharton's branch. There's a project, Red Fox Run, which is located on Route 1. I was part of the development of that project. It's one of the first projects I ever worked on. And we had a similar situation where there were two isolated wetland environments within that development that the Army Corps of Engineers and the wetlands delineator, through a jurisdictional determination, determined to be isolated from a tidal wetland source. That Deneric and the Conservation District were actually in favor of using those areas, not to excavate in the wetlands, but to use that natural wetland area as a stormwater management point, basically for the recharge of those wetlands. They're very positive about the recharge of the wetlands. They don't object to it. They would only object to us actually going into that upland wetland environment and excavating it, because then we'd basically be disturbing that ecosystem there as it's known. So we can convey the stormwater to that point and use green technologies or best management practices along the way. But when we get to that location itself, there would be no excavation in that area of where those wetlands were delineated.
Now, I believe you said a 15-foot pathway along County Road 333?
Correct. As I know it, it's relatively standard practice now that subdivisions along county roads that we are required to provide a 15-foot wide easement, which, as I come to know, is used for multi-use path in the future. If a sidewalk, bike lane were to be developed in the future, walking paths, then that area is set aside and reserved so that it can be developed.
Inside the development on those streets, thoughts of sidewalks and street lighting?
There have been no dialogues between my client and myself regarding if there would be sidewalks or street lighting. Other than we did have a brief discussion where they had mentioned that doing a impervious type sidewalk they wouldn't necessarily be in favor of, but using something that would be clearly delineated as a walking path within the development, using a natural cover, either be it a gravel, be it a triple shredded mulch, could be used within the development as a walking path rather than, say, an impervious surface, asphalt, or concrete.
Can you give me a feel for the target buyer and type of home?
That's something I'd probably defer to my client, Mr. Joe Collick, if he could come up and maybe have a few words for you on that.
My name is Joe Collick. I live at 15 Horseshoe Drive, Milford, Delaware. And what we were trying to do, although we realize that immediate area would not justify a Redwood type pricing package. The family has owned the property for a long time. We feel that we can offer a lot to a developer, or to a builder rather, or to a homeowner that wants to go and contract a builder to build a home for them with a land value significantly less than Reddenwood, allowing them to probably fall into a price range somewhere in the 250 to 350 type pricing. What we felt was, with all of the high density that is taking place not very far from this site, and Dagsboro as well, that it just seems fitting that there would be development where it would still be three-quarter acre lots, something that's becoming less and less popular in the Millsboro-Dagsboro area as growth has occurred in both of those municipalities. So that we were trying to make a nice community. That's what we were hoping to attract.
Given that price range, your thoughts that you would have young families with school children that may want to have a school bus stop at the entrance on 333 and maybe would be safer to have sidewalks and streetlights to accommodate them?
Well, like he had said, we hadn't really discussed the actual concrete surface type sidewalks and streetlights. Obviously, there's no issue with some kind of a school bus shelter for the children. I've heard that suggested tonight a couple other occasions, and I had already leaned over and told him, I said, just figure on a shelter going for that property.
Your soil reconnaissance has given what type of feel for the septics? Are these going to be standards or mounds or LPP?
John could better address that.
Sure. There's actually only one area. The soil reconnaissance was completed. The feasibility was completed, but we're still waiting on a response from Denerec. The only area where we had any sort of a mound system was around the four lots most directly adjacent to where that upland wetland environment was that I was talking about. The properties along the eastern side of the site actually all tested for gravity systems, or at least waiting for Denerec's response from that. The soil scientist, as submitted, was for gravity systems. The remaining lots and the rest of the development, approximately two-thirds of those lots would be LPP-type systems.
It's just kind of playing devil's advocate here. I hear what you're saying about the three-quarter acre lots, but well, now that you mentioned you've got a spot that would take standard of, there again, I'm just thinking, if you explored smaller lot sizes with a community system under a cluster, you'd be able to perhaps offer some more amenities to your prospective home buyers, or do you? I heard what Mr. Collick said his aim was.
We had actually at one time working with Joe and his brother actually developed a site plan for the cluster development. Actually, before the cluster was official, more when it was a draft going through the system. And we had designed that, and rather than the 42, 43 lots as shown now, we actually had 99 lots on it with what would be the minimum lot size. But it was a determination of my clients that it was a little too much for what was out there. And that was also providing for the area for the community septic treatment and the open space as required.
Would I be wrong in saying that if you are targeting perhaps smaller home and maybe what, like entry-level type buyers, that still doesn't mean that they couldn't have some type of, while not expensive to maintain, amenities like swimming pools and community clubhouses that I'm sure Mr. Johnson would agree, things like a basketball court and perhaps some other low-cost amenities like a place to an open area to play wiffle ball or softball or have a catch would serve the community, and perhaps give a sense of community at a modest investment. I don't have any other questions.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Gordy.
I'm sure you addressed this, and I apologize if I missed it, but are there any lots within the wetlands?
No.
And then what are you proposing between the lots and the concrete plant? Is any landscaping or?
Well, the plan as it's shown now that we had submitted shows a 10-foot wide landscape buffer. on the back of Appalachia Landscape Easement. As I had stated, we had thought that it might have been one of the concerns of Thorogood's. What was stated earlier this evening was having a note on the plan that's either showing a wider easement to the back of those building restriction lines, which would be 20 feet rather than the 10 feet, so doubling that easement in size, and then also providing a note on the plan as similar to the agricultural use restriction note or notice, and doing something in the way of, I guess, an industrial type use. It's my understanding that's property zone HI, so it's...
Yeah, I agree with the notice and all that, but, you know, landscaping to a point where you could cut down on some of the dust and possibly some of the noise.
I'd imagine it would have to be more of a tree stand, tree buffer rather than a shrub type.
But you'd be willing to do something like that?
We absolutely were already going to do that.
Okay.
No question. And we've always been longtime friends of the families with the Thorogoods, and we by in no way want to interrupt what they're doing there.
Okay. That's all the questions.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Johnson.
I think my colleague, Mr. Smith, covered it very well.
Mr. Burton?
I have no questions.
Mr. Couts?
Two quick questions. Given the nearness to the town of Millsboro, have you considered annexation to utilize their water and sewer?
It's nothing that we've had discussions with on this plan. I mean, the comprehensive plan, when I'd stated that's in an area to be a portion of a future town center, was of course referencing Millsboro. But it's nothing that
so you haven't
we had an immediate dialogue.
Said,
no, because the property itself isn't actually contiguous, really, to a property with Millsboro. I mean, the branch and that width of the branch separates it. So there would have to be some sort of contiguous abutment to a property that's in Millsboro in order for there to be any type of annexation. That's what I understand.
And when did you say you'd applied for a jurisdictional determination?
Back when the wetlands delineation was done, which at this time was about 13 months ago.
So it's been requested. You
right, exactly. We're still waiting on it. It's our understanding from our wetland scientist, James C. McCulley Environmental Consultants, that because of what happened in the South last year with Katrina and so forth, that the Army Corps had basically allocated a good amount of their resources into that region to help out with the relief effort, and that's kind of delayed.
I just wanted to make sure it had
obtaining
been
a jurisdictional determination. Yes.
Okay. Mr. Abbott?
No comment.
Council?
I have a question. I didn't have any, no.
Okay. Mr. Smith,
just one question. But do you happen to know what Millsboro's definition of contiguous property is?
As far as I know, contiguous would just be abutting to another property, which would already be within the town limits.
A common property line?
Yeah, correct. Sharing a common property line, yes. Yeah.
Not every town does it that way, but is that how they do it?
Yeah, that's what I've learned today. So that's what you believe, or that's what you know?
From what I've experienced on two other projects, that's what I've come to understand, is that it would have to be, as Mr. Wheatley stated, it would have to be sharing a common property line with another parcel that would already be within the town limits in order to have that done. Now, I have not contacted Millsboro to find out if that is the case, but I'm making an assumption that that would be the case in order for that to happen.
I can shed a little light on that. We contacted Millsboro for that answer, and it does have to be contiguous.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else? All right, sir, if you'll kindly stand down for a minute, we'll see if anyone has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here who would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2005-31 Colic Farms Incorporated? Is there anyone here who would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2005-31? Does anyone on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We thank you and invite you to spend the rest of your Thursday evening with us to see if we make a decision, or perhaps you would prefer to call the office in the morning.